joined by Jack Schenker once again from Tahrir Square. Jack, you described the violence last night as the worst since Mubarak fell. What's the scene today?
Well, the square is still packed with protesters, probably a few thousands of them, and there's a tense standoff between them and the Amin al-Markezi, that's the central security forces, down Mohammed Mahmoud Street, which is a main road leading off the square down towards the Interior Ministry. There are a lot of different narratives about exactly what happened last night and the clashes, which are still ongoing now. One camp, which is led by the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces and the police themselves, say that all of this kicked off when a group of thugs, the word "thugs" in Arabic, which is sort of a generic word meaning thugs, tried to infiltrate a commemoration of some of the martyrs of the revolution and then went on to attack the Interior Ministry. And they claimed that the Central Security Forces, which are based in the Interior Ministry, then acted in self-defense. Most of the protesters on the ground tell a very different tale. They say that legitimate families of those killed during the revolution were denied access by the police to yesterday's kind of commemoration of the martyrs, and that when they began protesting, the police attacked them and beat these unarmed demonstrators, and that's what sparked the violence. Right now, as I say, you know, people are continuing to occupy Tahrir Square. Traffic is flowing somewhat stutteringly around the area, but down Mohammed Mahmoud Street, the tear gas is still very heavy in the air. The entire neighbourhood is littered with rocks and debris from the clashes, and I've just been interviewing some very interesting people who have been giving me some of the details from the past few hours.
What's your take on it? Was it troublemakers or the government thugs?
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference in Egypt these days. You know, whatever happens, it's clear that the Central Security Forces dramatically exacerbated the situation by lobbing tear gas into the crowd. And I witnessed myself late last night, in the early hours of the morning, tear gas being fired indiscriminately at unarmed protesters, including into a group of ambulances, which is where I was standing, where doctors were treating some of the injured. I just, interestingly enough, spoke to a guy who lives on Mohammed Mahmoud Street, and he claims that kind of yesterday evening he saw a group of, in his words, al-Bagaya, so thugs, trying to attack the Interior Ministry and setting fire to cars and to trucks and smashing up shop windows. And he assumed that these were kind of criminals and rioters, not political revolutionaries or political activists. And he and a number of people from the neighbourhood, he says between 50 and 100, actually volunteered to help the Central Security Forces, the much hated Central Security Forces, and defend the ministry. And it was only they did that for a couple of hours, and they were actually, you know, on behind the lines of the police, throwing rocks at the so-called thugs. And it was only when the riot police began firing tear gas into the crowds and firing bullets into the air that these kind of neighbourhood guys decided that, in fact, the Central Security Forces were handling the situation very badly, and that even if there was a contingent of thugs, they had now, kind of the riot police had now transformed this into an attack on peaceful protesters. You know, the exactly how it started may never be known, but it's quite clear that the Central Security Forces are reasserting, after a long period of being off the streets or being a very minor presence on the streets since the fall of Mubarak, they're now reasserting their presence. And at a time when many Egyptians are worried about the progress of the revolution and there's fear that the ruling army generals are really hijacking the spirit of Tahrir and the pace of change has been too slow, it's a very febrile atmosphere. And any perceived display of police strength, which is very much what this was last night, it was always going to be answered by an even bigger display of grassroots strength on the ground. And that's what we're seeing now. People are vowing not to leave Tahrir. They're saying this is the second revolution, or this is the real revolution, or the ongoing revolution. And we have to defend our public space.
Is there a fear that the military government will use this as a sort of pretext to try and cling on to power or suspend the constitution?
Well, few people believe that the military rulers genuinely want to hang on to formal power, at least. They say that they're looking for a swift transition to democratic government, beg your pardon, and certainly it seems as if it's in their own interest to do that. I mean, that doesn't mean they won't still be pulling strings behind the scenes. But for now, they seem to want to get out of formal rule and schedule parliament elections as soon as possible. The problem is, and it's a bit too complicated to debate going through here, there are many who fear that the current timetable and kind of roadmap to democratic transition is very regressive and is designed to promote very conservative elements of society, such as sort of the old regime and some kind of Islamist groups like the Muslim Brotherhood. But, you know, the current plan, as this argument goes, benefits them at the expense of leftist and liberal revolutionaries. So, you know, even if the military do want to get out of power, there's a fear that the state they're leaving behind is going to be one which doesn't accurately reflect, you know, the people who made the 25th of January happen and succeeded in bringing down Mubarak. But the main thing now is, you know, the relationship between the police and the people here and the security forces and the police was such a central part of what this year's revolution was all about and continues to be all about. And, you know, the real question, and it's hard to answer at the moment, is the army in control of, you know, the army is obviously a separate institution from the police force. Is the army in control of the police force? Did it sanction last night's actions? Did it do that? Then, you know, why did it do that? You know, what is it trying to tell the people? Already the army's come out in very defending the interior ministry and the police and blaming kind of thugs and, you know, agents provocateurs for causing the trouble. Or, in fact, is the army just not in control of the police? Is the police trying to reassert their supremacy over both, you know, ordinary civilians and also the army itself? We just don't know, but at the moment, people are not waiting around to find out. You know, we've just walked past a group of people tearing down some air conditioning units in a sort of security hut just off the main road, and they're tearing down those units to run and throw at the police line towards where the police are firing tear gas. So violence and street clashes very, very much back on the agenda here in Cairo.
On the spot analysis and reporting. Great stuff, Jack. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Matt.